Let's talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, Sunday was electric. It was all day. Yep. I mean, listen, Mike and I had a show. We did a special version of Dukes and Bell, 1-4 down there at the Signia Hotel. And people were amped up all day. And just not the game, just real quick, just like, you know, you calling these games. Those Sunday night games, man, they feel big. They are big. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I noticed that going into the stadium on Sunday afternoon, there were already more people around the stadium, you know, 3.5 hours before game time than there are any other game, right? I mean, that was the first thing. The second thing was is that, now, Kansas City had a lot of fans there, but that's who Kansas City is. It's become one of those teams that nationally has gained a brand. So, you know, the longstanding Chief fan has now been joined by people in the last 5 or 6 years, right? Which you understand.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just what happens nationally with NFL fans, because you live in a marketplace where you have some connection to a team or you like a player or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's how I went from liking the Cowboys to the Steelers to the Giants when I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, because we didn't have pro football, right? I mean, it's just the way it was, and I think a lot of people have glammed on to the Chiefs, and rightly so. They've been very successful. So, but I noticed, Carl and Mike, that both fan bases were in the seats early. Now, you know, that late kickoff kind of begs some of that. The 1 o'clock game's a little trickier from an urgency standpoint to get everybody in place and the kids and everything and go. But nonetheless, I thought that was a huge boost. And then early on, they had something to get behind because Atlanta scored early and ended up being a really, really fun night that you wish you'd have won the ball game. But in terms of environments, it was pretty good. And I'm hoping that maybe Sunday we can find a way to replicate it for a 1 o'clock kick against the Saints.
I'm with you, Wes. I just felt that, you know, like just everything else this season and the two losses, there's plays, moments you want back. And there's just some things that, you know, you feel you see. It's not doom and gloom. I'm feeling good. I think we're still scratching the surface of everything that we're going to be. I'm just curious we were talking about this before you came on. As Zach Robinson learns more about the tools he's got in that toolbox, and a lot of folks talking about Kyle Pitts, needless to say, that was a big moment. No call. We get that. But I think we got to utilize Kyle Pitts a little bit more in this game plan.
So I think the variety and the depth of the offense is going to be really interesting, especially in these three division games we've got coming up. I think Kyle's going to be a big part of it. You know, I thought he was productive the other night when given the opportunity. I thought Drake was as well. I think we talked about Darnell Mooney a little bit last week, right? Mm-hmm. I think Mooney is the guy who's really starting to step forward for sure. And I'm pretty excited about where this team can go. The key thing here is you got to do it in some degree of success. And, you know, look, I think the defense has played pretty well, in all honesty, given all the newness and all the things coming together in the first three games. And this Sunday thing is going to be quite a challenge. I mean, New Orleans is not just a team that has scored a lot of points. They've scored a lot of points early. It's kind of scary, the number they've put up. So I think you're going to have to be on your game, really, on both sides of the ball Sunday. In a way that maybe, Carl and Mike, you haven't had to be in the first three games. You know, you could kind of, you know, stick and move and bob and weave and feel everything out in the first couple three games. But when you look at New Orleans, they're outscoring opponents 34-3 in the first quarter and 68-19 in the first half. So, I mean, you sit around and it's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like NC State and Clemson the other day. It's going to be 28-0. You're going to be going, what's happening? So, I think you really got to be cognizant of how explosive they are, and at least early in these first three games on Sunday.
How much credit do you give to Jimmy Lake, Coach Raheem Morris, the defensive staff as a whole? I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked great, but he threw the ball 39 times. I mean, he only had 217 yards. If you told me Patrick Mahomes was going to throw the ball 39 times, I would have thought he had, you know, close to 400 yards. I thought we did a really good job, and it was really situational football, Wes, with the defense. That's probably the side of the ball I've been most impressed with.
Yeah, I think so. And I think look, let's be honest, we knew Jesse Bates is a really good player and Justin Simmons is a good player, right? And so your back end middle is really good. And make no mistake, they're not throwing at 24 at the corner, they're throwing at 21, and he's reacting well. Right. Mike Hughes has played very well. And, you know, we all thought, you know, well, they're going to do anything at the other corner opposite AJ. And they didn't, and now you know why they didn't. They had confidence in Mike Hughes. And I think that's well said about Jimmy Lake, who, you know, obviously was in L.A. a year ago after the one-year deal at Washington as their head coach. And I'm a Jimmy Lake guy from the standpoint I just like the way he talks about defense. And I think it's going to get interesting. That's why I'm confident in these next three games. These are really big games, guys. I don't think we can lose sight of how important the next three are in terms of just what you feel like after six games with 11 more left to go, right? Mm. And I'm hopeful that the defense can continue to play at that level and that the offense, as I think Kirk would probably say, get it sorted out a little bit, especially on third down, because that number just does not fit the model of what this team is, in my opinion.
Now, we can still use more sacks. That's for darn sure. Only the Bucs have less sacks than we do, and at some point you do want to get that number up there. But I'm right. The defense is the least of my problems. How concerned are you with the offensive line? We saw Storm Norton fill in last year for him. Yeah. Newsel at center, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, based on everything we saw in the preseason and everything we saw the other night, I would suppose if Dahlman is an extended period of time, then Newsel would certainly be the guy. You know, Javon Gwynn was tried at center early in the preseason to see where that went. I'm not sure that was a positive experience. He's been inactive, and I'm guessing he is a guard.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have to do practice squad elevations or anything like that to you know, kind of buy some insurance behind Newsel, because what you don't want is to not have some guy active on game day if Newsel were to get hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to find whoever your next best guy is who can play center and get him some reps this week behind what Ryan does. Storm Norton, to me, is a guy who knows how to play football, and he's one of those guys like Harvey Dahl, Mike. I think he's got that streak of Harvey Dahl. I think he's got that little Harvey Dahl streak in him. Now, he hadn't shown it very much, but just looking at him, I think he's one that doesn't mind dusting off a pile when he has to. So I think that's the kind of guy you want. I really think it's the kind of guy you want when knowing that 93 may be over there on the other edge on Sunday. And Lord knows he may be going to the Hall of Fame because of success against Atlanta alone. So I'm hoping Cousins hears the history of Cam Jordan against the Falcons, and we address that a little bit too.
Yeah, no doubt. Alave, their offenses look good. You talked about the point differential.
Well, oh, my God.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the deal, though, right? They got a new
Derek Carr looks like he's going to Canton, Carl.
But you got to get pressure on him, Wes. If you do, he doesn't do that.
I said it after week one, and you know, I give him a lot of credit because he's got Carr playing well. But even last week, I thought they blew their opportunities. We watched that game, and we were at the Signia Hotel. We sat there and watched it as it played out. Clint Kubiak's the coordinator, and I think the play calling that he – the main thing is he's gotten Kamara back in the mix, right? I think that's the thing that they were missing, like, these last two seasons. Kamara's been the drink. I mean, he's been the stir that the straw that stirs the drink, should I say. They find him in all these different ways, and I think that, to me, going into this game, Wes, what I'm getting to is we have to stop him. If we stop Kamara, I think we give ourselves a chance to win this game big. If we do not, it's going to be a long afternoon.
All right, let me roll something by you guys. The other day when I was watching some of their games, Kamara looks like he did as a rookie now.
Yes.
So remember when New Orleans came here on a Thursday night and he got knocked out of the ball game on the first drive after he had like four carries and it felt like 60 yards?
Right.
You remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, he got knocked out of the game in Atlanta and ended up winning the game. I think that might have been – were we wearing the all red that night with the black numbers? I think we may have been.
Anyway, on the new unis. I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Yeah. The color rush or whatever that was called by the league marketing office.
And, that sounds personal.
The idea of what he's doing is not only is he running the ball, but he's catching the ball out of the backfield. So when you add Alave and you add Shahid and some of these other guys, that creates another valve for Clint Kubiak. And I give Dennis Allen a lot of credit. Go find a guy that, you know, kind of gives your defense a little cushion, because at times they've struggled defensively, minus the pass rushing of Jordan and guys like that. I think Brazee in the middle for them in that defensive front's a handful, the kid from Clemson. And we all know how good they've been at linebacker seemingly for the last decade. So, look, it's Falcons Saints. I mean, we can go through personnel and history and all that, but the reality of it is Atlanta's got to find a way to win the ball game and dictate the tempo of the game. I think dictating the tempo on Sunday is as important as it's been in any of the three previous games, for sure.
Talking with our man, Wes Drewham. He and Arch, man, have a 1 o'clock. We found that 8 to 9 hours of pregame, even though we're seasoned professionals, was still very difficult to shake off on Monday morning,
Wes. Wait a second. Carl's already told me twice you were at the fabulous Signia Hotel.
Yes, we were.
So don't tell me that your 8 or 9 hours of pregame run-up was too much for a body by Adonis that you have when it comes to tailgating, Bill.
I got to be honest, though. We were dragging yesterday. Carl, am I lying?
No.
We were dragging.
It was and
here's the thing. This is part of it. Because I said to everybody, pace yourself. And, you know, after we got done with our show, I necessarily didn't pace myself.
Yeah, so, we didn't follow our own advice.
Yeah, so that's why, like, as the game, went on, it got to, like, you know, the game kicks off at 8:20. I know you're fresh. You know, you and Arch are ready to go.
Oh, yeah, I'm fresh, all right. I flew in from Boston that morning. Go ahead.
Oh, God, that's right, because he's doing it. Yeah,
but by 10 o'clock, you know, you're like, okay, let's go. You know? So, but listen, I want more Sunday night games. Let me ask you this before we let you go. It's West Durham.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's beating Miami in the ACC. I'm watching, Wes, and I know you're calling these games. And listen,
sure.
Clemson has looked like a completely different team after that Georgia loss.
That's a fact.
Miami, though, I'm just impressed with Cam Ward and his coolness. This kid's got 14 touchdowns, two interceptions, and he's already thrown for damn near 1,500 yards. Okay?
Right.
They're 4-0. They're at home this – matter of fact, they play Friday night. They're 4-0. I'm just saying, you tell me. I don't think anybody's beating Miami in the ACC.
Okay. All right. You can stand on that for a while.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you. Right. I mean, but I also think, too, Louisville's got the right kind of mix to cause a problem.
Okay.
Clemson definitely has the right kind of mix to cause a problem. And I tweeted this out the other day. I don't know what – I mean, they've moved on from game one against Georgia.
Yeah.
Clemson's moved on.
Yeah, big
time. And Clemson's going to be the case study of, like, Ohio State the first year of the CFP when they lost to one of Mike's schools in Virginia Tech and then came back to, you know, ultimately win the national championship. Clemson may be our one-loss case study in the CFP this year. We'll see. Because if Clemson and Miami end up playing for the championship and Miami wins, Miami gets the automatic. Is Clemson in two losses going to be good enough to get in? I would say yes, but that's me. If they run the table the rest of the way. So it's going to be interesting. It really is. I think that these are all good conversations. But, yeah, Miami right now, absolutely. But can Miami avoid Miami-ing?
Uh-oh.
And you know what I mean.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think with the right quarterback, I think the coach, I don't think they can screw this one up. They've got it. And, by the way, they're going to give FSU some payback for 2 years ago with the Hard Rock. That's going to be a tough one. Yeah.
Who did you just mention?
Starts with an S, ends with an S.
Oh, wait a second. I hadn't heard of
it. Wait. Before we talk about them, Mike, let me tell you where I am Saturday night.
SMU?
First ever Atlantic Coast Conference game for Southern Methodist University is your beloved Seminoles Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Gerald Ford, not the President's Stadium,
the other one.
In Dallas.
Yeah,
it's a good environment, Wes.
I was going to go, Wes. I was all excited about that, and then the season started.
Well, let me tell you, they just hung 60-odd on TCU last week.
Yeah.
I saw it.
They won the skillet.
You guys haven't scored 66 this season.
No, we'd like a refund on DJ Ukulele.
That's not right.
Hey, real quick, Wes, before we cut you loose.
Sometimes you win in the portal, sometimes you lose, Carl.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And we got outbid for Cam. Real quick, Alabama, Georgia. Georgia has an Alabama problem, as Carl likes to say. Is that swing around to Kirby this weekend?
I will say this. Georgia has been, even with the less than stellar effort, according to the head coach in the Bluegrass against the Cats, I would say this. Until somebody gets Georgia, not named Texas, I would lean Georgia at this point.
It's going to be
I would lean Georgia. That they are, in the times I've been able to see them, and I haven't seen every game, I saw a majority of the Clemson game, they have looked the best of any team I've seen. Now, Texas is in that conversation. Ohio State's in that conversation. Alabama has looked very good. Ole Miss has looked very good. But have they looked like Georgia? No. But we'll see Saturday. That's why we play the games, boys.
Cannot wait. Wes, thanks again, man. We got to run. Appreciate you. And, guys,
anytime, guys.